Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Beitza Daf Vav Amud Aleph. I think I hear one more person walking in. Okay, there we go. And I believe we're literally at the very top of the Amud. So we left off with an extensive discussion about the nature of the calendar, the nature of Yom Tov Rishon, of Yom Tov Sheni, the distinctions between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni as they relate to a regular Yontif, and as they relate to Rosh Hashanah. Now the Gemara introduces a very interesting halacha, and within that halacha, the Gemara once again analyzes the question of whether or not Rosh Hashanah is in fact experienced as Kedusha Achas, which means it's one singular Kedusha. We don't treat each day independently as a Safek, whether or not it's Chol, but rather we treat both days as a Kedusha Achas, or whether or not it's Shtei Kedushos. So says the Gemara the following on the top of Vav Amud Aleph. Amar Rava. So Rava makes the following statement. Meis b'yom tov rishon. If one encounters a meis on the first day of Yontif, does not have to mean that the person actually died on Yontif, even if they died before Yontif, but the tipul, the engagement with the meis, is initially taking place on Yom Tov Rishon. So says the Gemara, Yisasku bo amimim. One is allowed to contract the non-Jewish people around to bury the mace, right? Yom Tov, there is a prohibition of engaging in burial. Burial involves melachos that are doraisa. Even with the most expansive view of which melachos are mutter on Yontif, we definitely would not include digging. For the purpose of the hole even, and therefore burying on Yontif would be Aser, burying on Shabbos would be Aser. However, we have the compelling issue of Kavod HaMeis, and therefore, in the times of the Gemara, if we have the Meis on the first day of Yontif, we would bury the Meis, but using Amira La'akum. Amira La'akum is only a Dirabbanan, it's a Takana Dirabbanan. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you on Shabbos, or more precisely, as that halacha is often misunderstood, you're not allowed to benefit from a non-Jew doing malacha for you on Shabbos. It's not just a question of asking. You're not supposed to benefit if the malacha is being done exclusively for you. If the malacha is being done for lots of people and you're part of that group, then it's not being done exclusively for you. But one is not supposed to benefit directly from a non-Jew's malacha, but in this case, with the compelling reason to be able to bury the dead for a kavod ha-meis, we're allowed to go ahead and do so. What if meis be Yom Tov Sheni? What if we encounter a meis on Yom Tov Sheni? So now we're dealing with already a din derabanan, because Yom Tov Sheni is only an issa derabanan, it's a sveika diyoma, and there it's a takan of sveika diyoma, and so therefore, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, Yisasku bo Yisrael. That a Jew is allowed to bury on Yom Tov Sheni. And in fact, there are Hasidic communities today where they will bury. Actually, they'll bury, I think, through Goyim on Yom Tov Sheni. But they will bury on Yom Tov Sheni. We obviously do not do that. We'll discuss that soon. V'afilu b'shnei Yom Tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, even on the second day, even on both days of Rosh Hashanah, meaning even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we will be matir, a Jew, to go ahead and bury someone since it's Yom Tov Sheni, which again is a little striking, because the second day of Rosh Hashanah we generally do not treat as Dirabbanan, as we discussed before, so we have to understand where that's coming from, which we will in a moment. The Gemara says, Masha Ein Kein Bebeitza, in contrast to the halacha of Beitza. What's the halacha of Beitza by Rosh Hashanah? As we learned, the halacha of Beitza is that a Beitza that's born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is not permitted on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because we assume Kedusha Achas. So says the Gemara, that's something, that Kedusha Achas, so that's something that we're machmir for. Linyan Beitza lo ikilu b'yom tosheni de Rosh Hashanah, lahashos l'shal goliot, stila Rosh Hashanah nola bazeh asura bazeh. But when it comes to the din of regular Yom Tov Sheni, so then it's mutter. Okay? So says the Gemara, Nahardoi Amri, the people from Nahardoi, the scholars of Nahardoi would say, Af Pebeitza, that not only is Rosh Hashanah mutter to go ahead and bury on the second day of Yontif, but even the case of the Beitza, Beitza Shenolda Bezeh, is Muteres Bezeh, says Rashi. So the Nahardoi, the scholars of Nahardoi, what do they hold? They do not hold of Kedusha Achas. They hold of Shtei Kedushos, right? Which means we treat Rosh Hashanah just like any other Yom Tov Sheni. What was the reason why we didn't treat Rosh Hashanah like any other Yom Tov Sheni? So if you recall, the reason was the Madateich, because what were you so worried about? Dilma Ma'abri Leila Elul, you were worried that they would be Ma'abir Elul. Remember that the Eidim would come at the end of the day and you would not have enough time to declare Rosh Chodesh with the Karban Shalbein Arbayim being able to be done properly by the Levium with the proper shear. So therefore, it's Kakul B'shir, so we were misakin, we didn't accept their Eidos the rest of the day, so we kept the first day, because the first day might be Rosh Hashanah, we kept the second day, because it was actually the declared Rosh Hashanah, and so therefore Chazal were misakin, this is not a Sveika Diyoma, this is just one big Kedusha Achas. So the Gemara says, that whole concern, the Hardai says, evolved from this one time, where the Eidim came after Mincha, and we were the Nileviim when Niskalkalu Bashir. But he says, Ha'amar Avchiyah Bar Kahana Amar Rav, says Rav Chanina Bar Kahana Amar Rav, Miyamos Ezra Ve'elech L'matzinu Elo Me'uber. This actually never happened after that one incident. And so therefore, the Takana that we learned a couple d'apim ago that was made, that Rosh Hashanah is treated like a Kedusha Achas, never fully took hold. Since it never fully took hold, the opinion of the Chachmei Nahardoi is that Rosh Hashanah is treated like Shtei Kedushos. If Rosh Hashanah is treated like Shtei Kedushos, then not only when you have the compelling issue of Kavod HaMeis, do we go ahead and we're Mekel on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but even the Beitzah that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah can be eaten the second day of Rosh Hashanah because we paskin Shtei Kedushos, right? We paskin Shtei Kedushos, right? The Beitzah that's born the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you could eat the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because once you paskin Shtei Kedushos, you treat each day like a Suffolk. So if the first day was Yantif, so the Beitzah was born on Yantif, but you're eating it on Chol, that's not a problem. And if the first day was Chol, then the Beitzah was born on Chol, and you're eating it on Yantif, that's also not a problem. The only problem comes in when you say Kedusha Achas, because you're treating both days as emanating from the same Kedusha, or the same Safek Kedusha, whatever it is. So Amar Marzutra, so says Marzutra, Lo Amran, so now we have a qualification, so that's the din. Now we have a qualification. Amar Marzutra, Lo Amran, this din that we just said about burying people on Yontif, Lo Amran Ela D'Ishtahi. We only paskin that way if there is a delay. Meaning, this body has been sitting for a while, this body is decomposing, and there's a real lack of kavod hameis to allow it to go further. So then we paskin, the Yisrael could bury the body on the second day of Yontif. Aval lo ishtai, but if there is not a delay, mishahin anlay. Right? If it just mamish happens, if the person passes away, mamish Yontif afternoon, we don't go, even though we generally try to make levayas as soon as possible, we're not going to compromise on Amira La'akum in order to bury the person on the first day. We're not going to compromise on the Isurei Derabbanan of Yom Tov Sheni to bury the person on the second day. These are all Isurei Derabbanan. We're not going to do that since there's really no concern about decomposition. So Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi says, no. Afa gabde lo ishtai, even if there isn't a delay, nami lo mishahin and lay. We also don't wait. We bury the person right away, even on Yontif. Why? My taima? Because Yom Tov Sheni legabe meis kichol shavya rabbanon. We treat Yom Tov Sheni with respect to a meis like chol. Whenever we're dealing with a situation where we're looking at a circumstance or an item and we're being mati or something, so there are two different ways to view it, right? Whenever there's a conflict between two competing concerns and the more makel situation wins out, so we could either look at that as what's called dichuya, which means in this particular circumstance, under these conditions, we have essentially suspended the prohibition in light of some compelling factor, and therefore we're allowed to engage in that particular factor. Or the other conceptual way we could look at it is what's called hutra. Hutra means it's not that we've suspended that compelling factor of chumrah, but rather we've undermined it altogether. It has no presence whatsoever. Is it dechuya? Is it hutra? And the nafkamina generally is, do you have to be concerned about ancillary concerns? Do you have to be concerned about minimizing things, right? A woman goes into labor on Shabbos. It's a sakana. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Is Shabbos dechuya? Which means for the actual sakana, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, but you should try to minimize it as much as possible. Or is Shabbos hutra? That it's considered completely mutter. So when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni, legabe meis kichol shavi rabbon. The Rabbanon treat it like it's mamish a day of chol. What right do they have to do that? Well, hey mamru ve hey mamru. They're the ones that were mesakin Yom Tov Sheni to begin with. Right? Yom Tov Sheni min haTorah is not yontif at all. The Rabbanon come along and say, we're going to infuse this with the Kedushas HaYom, with the power of the Midi Rabbanon, and so therefore they make it Yom Tov Sheni. They were never gozer Yom Tov Sheni on a circumstance relating to the burial of a person, because that comes into conflict with the obligation to do a burial, and so therefore, Kechol Shavya Rabbanon. If it's Kechol Shavya Rabbanon, so then you don't have to be concerned with, is there a delay, is there not a delay, because we're not trying to minimize Malacha here. It's done, it's finished, it's over. Afilu lemegas leglima. In fact, on Yom Tov, you're even on Yom Tov Sheni. On Yom Tov Sheni, you're even allowed to go ahead and cut things to make the shrouds. Lemegas leasa and cut different things. They used to put like a myrtle branch or some sort of besamim on the coffin, which I think Sfardim still do. I remember at the Levaya that we had with the Masachis. I remember them throwing in all sorts of spices and looking around and wondering what that was about. So Amar Ravina says Ravina. Okay, so that's the din. Amar Ravina says Ravina. And today, de'ika chavre, another concern. So really, burying on the second day of Yontif is completely mutter. And burying on the first day of Yontif is mutter if you go ahead and have an akum do it. So there says Ravina today, the Ika Chavre, that we have a situation where I guess they were living in the Persian Empire, says Rashi, under some sort of dominion that had forced labor. It was forcing the Jewish people to work. But I guess somebody had worked it out that they could get off for Yontif, that they would not have to work on Yontif. So says the Gemara, since they didn't have to work on Yontif, they had that exemption. That exemption was there because the Jewish people got their masters to take Yontif seriously. But if they go ahead and they see, if they go ahead and they see that we're being makel for things, even though we're allowed to be makel for things, then they're going to say, you see, they don't take it so seriously. I always point this Gemara out, you know, when people, sometimes things come up work-wise, or kids who are on college campuses, you know, can they attend a class when they're not going to be mechal Shabbos or Mechal Yantif? Can they do this? Can they be in touch? Can you send an email that's going to get there later? Can you time it? Can you leave a message and a fax? You always have to remember, if you're trying to sensitize the people around you in your environment to recognize that you treat this seriously, when you bring your, you know, yeshiva shtick about, this kula and that kula, and there's a Ramban, and there's a tshuva, and there's this, and a Ber Moshe, you know, they don't understand all of that. All they see is inconsistency. All they see is total, you know, lack of commitment. And so therefore, they're not going to be more understanding next time. So if you say, I have to leave for Shabbos by a certain time, and then, you know, one Shabbos is running really, I really have an extra 18 minutes. Oh, really? You really have an extra 18 minutes? Oh, you know, obviously this isn't so important to you. So that's the Gemara. The Ika Chavre Chayshinon, and so therefore, as long as there was no situation where the mace was deteriorating, they would not go ahead and bury the mace. Rav Moshe has a very famous tshuva, and I won't go through it inside, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva that he wrote in the 1970s, which changed this halacha. Really, this is one of those tshuvas where you need to be Rav Moshe. This is one of those tshuvas where you need to appreciate the godless of what it means to take on your shoulders, essentially, the entire transformation of an area of halacha that deals with Dine Doraisa for the Jewish people. And that is Rav Moshe, basically, in Chelek, I think it's Gimel, Chelek Gimel of Orach Chaim, Simen Ayin Vav. Rav Moshe quotes our Gemara that says that the Isser, he says, clearly, we're not concerned about the Isser of leaving the mace overnight. Right, there's an Isser of Lo Sullen, that you're not allowed to leave the mace overnight. Because, says Rav Moshe, the Isser to leave the mace overnight is only if it's out of laziness or out of, you know, apathy or complacency. But if it's Mipi Shmaya, if it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the person die in a calendarical configuration that presented dinim, that prevented you from bearing the mace, there's no issue of baltalin, or else the Gemara in Beitza would have introduced that as a factor, and the Gemara didn't. So Rav Moshe basically says, you see from this Gemara that if you can delay, you should delay, right? If you can delay, you should delay. So says Rav Moshe, in today's world, where we have refrigeration, right, and we have the ability to preserve the mace from any concerns of decomposition and any concerns of nivala mace over yontif, this din no longer applies. And the Jewish people no longer bury on yontif. And in fact, he says, it's not a chumrah to go ahead and do this, to go ahead and bury on yontif, right? He's not saying I'm being makel, because if you bury on yontif, he says, in today's environment, you're going to cause all sorts of chilul yontif, because people are going to make phone calls to make arrangements, and family is going to talk back and forth, and people are going to travel, and you're going to create all sorts of chilul yontif, or chilul Shabbos that's even more serious, and you can't do that. The Rishonim do discuss, why is this Gemara only about, if the solution to this problem is Amira La'akum, is bumping it down to a Dorabanan, why is this only about yontif? Why isn't this about Shabbos also? Shabbos also you can ask a guy to do. So it seems that the Isra of Amir La'akum on Shabbos is more chamer than the Isra of Amir La'akum on yontif, even for the malachas that are asur on yontif midirabbanan, because since yontif has sort of already been penetrated in terms of the totality of the Isra malacha by being matir, sidur depas, or ochel nefesh, whatever you're matir, so then already the next shlav of asking the guy to do the malacha is already we're a little more makel. And that's really a topic for another time, which is the nature of the Kedushas Hayom of Yontif and its associated Isra Malacha, which is something I'm sure we'll talk about in Maseches Beitza at a certain point, and how the kulas of Yontif impact and influence its fundamental identity relative to Shabbos. Okay. Says the Gemara the following. Amar, did anyone have a question? One question? Okay. Says the Gemara the following. Amar Rava. Oh, sorry. A little bit further back. Where are we? Hashinan. Ravina Abba Yosef Kameh de Rabasi. So Ravina was standing before, sitting before Rabasi. B'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. On 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Chaziv dehava otziv. And he saw that he was sad. You're not supposed to be sad on Rosh Hashanah. It's actually a machlokas if you're allowed to cry of sadness on Rosh Hashanah. Famous machlokas of Vilna Gaon. Others, you let it fast on Rosh Hashanah. But he was sad on Rosh Hashanah. Why was he sad on Rosh Hashanah? So it wasn't because he's worried about the din. What was he worried about? He was worried about lunch. Amar lei, amai otziv. He says, why are you sad? So he says, I'm sad because my otziv mar. Amar lei, delo asuv erev tafshilin. I forgot to make an erev tafshilin. So Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. In order to cook for Shabbos, you have to make an Erev Tavshilin. There's an Isser Hachana. You could prepare on Wednesday for Shabbos, but to prepare, and you cannot prepare on Thursday for Shabbos, but to even prepare from Friday to Shabbos, that's being Mechen Miyon Tov to Shabbos. You have to make an Erev Tavshilin. That has to be done before Yontif. So Amar Lei...
Could Yontif have also been Friday Shabbos?
Friday Shabbos...
No, because Yom Kippur couldn't be on Sunday. Then,
right.
Yom Kippur couldn't fall on Sunday.
So you'll see also for this case, Amar Lei, V'leisiv Mar Ha'idna, so why don't you just make it today? Why don't you just make it on Friday? Right? Well, why don't you on Thursday? Why don't you just make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, on Rosh Hashanah? So he says, how can you make an Erev Tavshilin on Thursday? Milo Amar Rava, did not Rava say? So Rava says the following. Let's say a person forgets to make an Erev Tavshilin. Can they make an Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Yontif? So Rava says, Meiniach Adam Erui Tavshilin Miyotov Lechavera. You can make an Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Yontif for the second day of Yontif. Umasna, and you make a condition. How does that work? It works very simply. You are looking at 2 days of Yontif in a normal case. You're looking at 2 days of Yontif. Let's pretend it's Sukkot, right? I think Sukkot next year is like this, right? All the Yom Tovim next year are Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Right? So you make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday. If you make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, so if Thursday is really Yontif, so you shouldn't have made the Erev Tavshilin on Yontif. However, if Thursday is Yontif, Friday is Chol. So then it's mutter to cook on Chol for Shabbos. And if you're wrong and Thursday is really Chol, so then it is mutter to make an Erev Tavshilin on Chol. So you made Erev Tavshilin on Chol. The next day is Yontif. and you're making the Erev Tavshilin on Friday, on Thursday, for the purpose of cooking on Friday, which is Yontif, for Shabbos. But that only assumes, so therefore, what's your problem? Why you said, make your Erev Tavshilin and go home? So Amar Le, he said to him, no, Amar Amar Rava's Tanai only works b'shnei Yom Tovim Shel Galus. When you're dealing with a regular case of Yontif, where you're dealing with a Sveika de Yoma, right? Because that's the whole Tanai. The whole Tanai is, maybe it's Yontif, maybe it's Chol. But b'shnei Yom Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, if you're dealing with 2 days of Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, mi Amar, does he really hold that way? After all, Kedusha Achas. And if it's Kedusha Achas, then there's no Sveika de Yoma. We don't treat each day of Rosh Hashanah as a Sveika de Yoma. We treat Rosh Hashanah as one singular day of Yontif. We treat each day as a singular day of Yontif. And so therefore, this Tanai wouldn't work. If this Tanai doesn't work, I can't make an Erev Tavshilin. I can't make an Erev Tavshilin. I can't cook for Shabbos. And I'm very upset. So Baha Amri, remember, this is before refrigeration or anything. Like, that's it. The Ha'amri Nardois, he says, but didn't Nardois say, the Chachmei Nardois, didn't they say, Av Beitza Muteres, in the Gemara we had above, that the Beitza, that's Noda Bazu, Muteres Bazu, by Rosh Hashanah, meaning the Chachmei Nardois held by Rosh Hashanah, Shtei Kedushos, why aren't you be makel and rely on the Chachmei Nardois? If the Chachmei Nardois are right, that Rosh Hashanah is really Shtei Kedushos, then each day is treated like a Sveika de Yoma. If each day is treated like a Sveika de Yoma, then you can make the Tanai on Thursday and make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday and cook on Friday for Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amar Le, Rav Mordechai Beferish, Rav Mordechai said Beferish, Amar Limar, Delo Samar Lahol Nardoi. We don't paskin like Nardoi. Now we don't paskin Shtei Kedushos. We paskin Kedusha Achas. And that itself is a fascinating discussion, how we treat that second day of Rosh Hashanah, because there are different competing values here. Do we treat it like a day of Yom Tov Sheni, legabe certain kulas of Yom Tov Sheni? Do we make that Shecheyanu is a machlokas rishonim on that second night? That's why many people have a strange fruit, a new fruit, right? How it works in your house. I'm yotze that particular mitzvah through my wife. Right, not exotic when it comes to fruit.
Nope.
So
nowadays the Rav of a community makes it for the whole community.
Yes, so the Gemara, we're going to see that the Rav makes the Erev Tavshilin, if he did, and he has in mind the whole community. In fact, when I make an Erev Tavshilin, it involves another person, because they have to be makneid on behalf of the whole community. The din is that if you go into Rosh Hashanah relying on that Erev Tavshilin, you're not really in, but the Mishnah Berurah softens that a little bit, but that's correct. This is either talking about before that particular takana, or maybe this was the rabbi, right? You know, he's the rabbi. He's the one that forgot the Erev Tavshilin. So, you know, he's got real problems. Everybody was counting on him. So we have many, many signs throughout the house on Erev Yontif about making Erev Tavshilins and alarms and all sorts of things, because things are very hectic and want to remember. Inmar. Okay, that's the end of the sugya about Shtei Kedushos, Kedusha Achas. Inmar, new sugya. Hefroach Shenolad Be Yontif. So now we have a chick that is born on Yontif. A cute little chick, right? We've all been to the zoo. We've seen those, right? The eggs hatch. The chicks come out. And it comes out on Yontif. So Rav Omar Osir. Rav says he can't do anything with that chick. That chick is absolutely Osir, right? Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says, V'itema Rav Yochanan, some say this is the opinion of Rav Yochanan, that mutter, it is mutter to be involved with that chick. This should not be taken out of context, right? So Rav Omar Osir, Rav says it's Osir. Why? Because Muksahu. Because of this thing is Muksa, right? Why would it be Muksa? It's Muksa because in order for something to not be Muksa, it has to be what's called Mukhan, right? Things that are Mukhan, things that are set aside and prepared and natural for usage before Shabbos, before Yontif, are not Muksa on Shabbos and Yontif, right? That's why even things that are Klisha Malachto Le'isser, even something that's generally used for something else, or like a hammer, since it's miyached before Shabbos for purposes that are not only usur, let's say to, you know, break open nuts or something like that, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos for certain purposes. A klish machtel isur is mutter, letzarach gufo, letzarach mekoma. But something that has no usage on Shabbos whatsoever, but before Shabbos whatsoever, like a rock. A rock has no purpose, right? Before Shabbos, so you're not. It's not muhan to be used on Shabbos, and so therefore, when Shabbos begins, it's considered muksa. So Rav Amar muksa. So why is this little chick muksa? So it's muksa because there's nothing you can do with it. It's considered actually a sheretz, as we're going to see. It's considered like a bug, right? This thing that exists when it's still in the shell, right? In other words, it came out, it hatched on Yontif itself. Before Yontif, what was its status? It has the status of a sheretz. It has the status of a bug. Shmuel v'itemer Rav Yochanan amar, Shmuel and some say Rav Yochanan say, mutter. Why is it mutter? After all, yes, maybe it wasn't Mukhan before Shabbos, but it didn't really exist before Shabbos. Now that it's coming to before Yontif, now that it's coming to existence on Yontif, umatir atzmo b'shchita. That obviously does not apply to Shabbos, right? And now it could be shechted, right? Doesn't seem so nice, right? We don't like the image of shechting little chicks, right? But pargio, right? Is that what they're right? We don't like that that image. But if you shech the little chicken, so then it's mutter. So it's matir atzmo b'shchita. It does have a purpose on Yontif. So it has a purpose on Yontif, it's mutter. So Amr le Rav Kahana Rav Asi le Rav. So Rav Kahana and Rav Asi say to Rav, v'chima bein ze le'egel shenolad b'yontif. We have a din that let's say you have a calf that is born on Yontif. Can that calf be shechted on Yontif and eaten for, right, veal, right? You want a nice, talk about fresh, right? You want a nice, right? This could be a new minig at the Pesach hotels, right? Right? Right. You literally, right? Come right out and that's it. You shech the animal and it, so that's mutter. So Rav, what's the difference between the egel that's born on Yontif, that is mutter to shech and to eat, and the chick that's born on Yontif, that you're saying is usher to shecht and eat. What's the difference? So Amar Lahu, so he would say to them, no, hoel umuchan agav imo b'shchita. This calf that was born on Yontif is not similar to the egg. Why? Because the chick inside of the egg is considered a sheretz, and there's no way to eat it, right? In other words, even if you were to shecht the chicken, right, and pull out the egg, and, you know, crack open the egg and want to eat this little chick, that would be eating a sheretz. That's usher. But that's very different than the case of the egel. If you shecht a mother, right? A calf, its mother is a cow, right? You shecht the cow, and you find out, you open up the cow, bonus, right? There's a calf inside. That calf is actually mutter to eat without shechita at all. That calf is mutter to eat without shechita at all. It's called ben pekuah.
I think that's just the shechita.
And it is the shechita of the mother, that's when the calf is born, right? The shechita of the mother, this is the calf was not born. You're eating a calf fetus, okay? And the shechita of the mother, right? It's a good thing the breakfast was before, right? The shechita of the mother counts for the limb. The calf is considered, look at Rashi, okay? The calf is considered Mukhan agav imo beodo besoch me'eha me'eha, as long as it's in the mother's stomach, im nishkata eimaya nechal, you can eat it. So when Shabbos came in theory, right, in theory, this calf was edible, because if I would shech the mother Erev Shabbos, which is mutter, then I'd be allowed to eat the calf with no problem, and therefore the calf was mukhan machmas, the shechita of the mother on Erev, I'm sorry, I keep saying Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Right, the calf is muchan agav the shechita of the mother on Erev Yontif. So now that it's born on Yontif, it's mutter to shecht and eat with no problem. The egg with the little chicken side, that's not mutter on Erev Yontif if you were to shecht the mother bird. And so therefore, right, therefore the two cases are not analogous. Everyone follow? Rav said that it's muksa. It's muksa because it wasn't muchan, because it has no use, because it's like a sheretz. What do you mean? Calves that are born on Yontif are considered mutter, right? So why is that mutter if the egg's not mutter? No, there's a big difference, because the calf was also mutter Erev Yontif. The egg, the chicken, the egg was not mutter Erev Yontif. The calf was mutter Erev Yontif because through the shechita of the mother, it would become completely mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you a better case. The Gemara says, very sharp, So he says, oh, what if you have a case where the egel is born from a treifa? Now, if you have a treifa, treifa is not an avela, right? A treifa means there was a problem in the animal. One of the simanim of the animal is problematic. That does not create a hereditary kashrus problem. So if a treifa animal gives birth to a non-treifa animal, that animal is completely kosher. So what do we have here? We have a cow that's a treifa. We know the cow's a treifa. We're totally aware the cow's a treifa. It's walking around pasturing on Erev Yontif. Now on Yontif, the calf is born, right? And the calf is not a treifa. So the Gemara, so the halacha is that you're allowed to shecht and eat that calf. On Erev Yontif, was that calf muchan to eat la'achila? No, because even if you would have shecht the mother, the fetus of a treifa is a treifa. The birth of the animal is not a treifa. Why? Follow me. Because we have a principle called uber yerech imo. The Gemara has a big machlokas about this in a number of places, right? Is the fetus of an animal or of a person considered part of the mother, or is it considered an independent identity? Uber yerech imo. Once the baby's born, everybody agrees it's independent. Machlokas exactly when in the birth process that takes place, when Yatza Rosho and different opinions about that, but the Uber Yerech Imo. So says the Gemara, we paskin that the Uber, that the fetus, is considered part of the mother. So follow. Kolzman, that the calf is in the Uber, Kolzman, that the calf is in the stomach of the treif cow, it's just part of a treif cow. So it is treif. You shecht the treif cow, you end up with a treif calf. Because even though the calf is part of the cow is treif, the cow is the calf is treif, everything's treif. But if the calf is born, so once it's born, right, you didn't shecht the treif cow, you let it give birth, now it's independent and now it's kosher. So the treif cow that gave birth on Yontif, so the calf was not mukhan before Yontif la'achila, because it's a treifa. But once it's born, not only is it independent of the mother, but it's also now considered a completely kosher calf, and you could shecht it. That case is analogous to our case of Beitza Shenol de Biyantif. Why? Because the Beitza Shenol de Biyantif had a little Sheretz Dika chick inside that on Erev Yontif was completely treif, you can't eat it. So if you shechted the mother, you can't eat the egg. And yet, when it's born on Yontif and it hatches, Rav says it's usur. But the treif egel, even though it's treif on Erev Yontif, when it's born and it has a new identity, we consider it completely mutter. This is the kasha on Rav. So Rav says, shosik, he was quiet. Checkmate, you got me. Says Rav, you got me. So Rav, Amar, shosik, Rav. So Rav was quiet. Amar Rabba, so Rabba comes and tries to vitam Rav Yosef, and some say it was Rav Yosef. And they try to challenge this shtika of Rav. Okay, Rav's silence, just to follow this logic, Rav's silence is indicative of his acquiescence to this challenge. That yes, it's a big problem. I said asur muksa, when the egel is considered kosher, and the egel is treif before, and the efroach is treif before, so it's a good kash. So it says, my time of Shosik Rav, we can answer this kasha. Leim Elohu, Rav could have said to them, Ho alamuchan agav imo leklavim. No, maybe the egel wasn't muchan for the purposes of human consumption, but it was muchan for the purposes of animal consumption. You could have fed that egel to a kelev. If I would have shechted the cow, the egel would have been treif. But you could do something with a treif egel. You could feed it to your animals. A treifa is not asur bahana. Basur b'cholav is asur bahana. A treifa is not asur bahana. You're allowed to get hana from a treif. You're allowed to own treifa, sell it at a profit. There's no problem with that. So I could have been muchan agav imo leklavim. So now let's go back. If it's muchan agav imo leklavim, so that means it was muchan before. If it was muchan before, so it was muchan for this purpose before. Now it's born on Yontif, it's an independent identity, we said it's mutter. That's not a kasha on Rav anymore, because in Rav's case, you're not allowed to feed, you're not going to feed the chick to a dog, because an unborn chick is not even edible to a dog. That's the assumption here. Amar le Abaye, so Abaye says, Hashta muchan la adam, lo avi muchan la klavim. So he says, no, Abaye wants to push back on Rabba's challenge to Rav's silence. Okay, we're all together here. So says Abaye, right? That's who's talking. Says Amalei Abaye, Hashta muchan la adam, lo avi muchan la klavim. The fact that it was muchan la adam. Does not something that's muchan la'adam cannot be muchan la'klavim ditznan. We're going to explain what that means through this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and we've actually seen this Mishnah before, mechachin es adaluin, you're allowed to chop up the gourds, lifnei ha-behema, to feed the behemas, even though that's malachi yisera. Ve'as ha-nevela, and you're allowed to chop up nevela, lifnei ha-klavim, before the klavim on yantif. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, "In lo is a nevela me'erev Shabbos. If it wasn't a nevela from erev Shabbos, asura, then it's aser. Why? Lefi she'ena mina muchan, because it's not considered muchan. So what do we see from here? We see that if you have something that was muchan la'adam. So the other Gemara says, so muchan leklavim abi muchan la'adam." Something that's muchan la'adam, something that can be eaten by a person before Shabbos, right? If it then becomes a problem on Shabbos, becomes a nevela on Shabbos, you're not allowed to feed it, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda said, it's only if it's a nevela before Shabbos. But it's a nevela on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to feed it to the person. So it was muchan la'adam before Shabbos, but it became muchan la'klavim on Shabbos. That's not good enough. That's still considered muksa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So something that is muchan leklavim, right, certainly can't become muchan la'adam. Everyone following? Something that was muchan to be given to dogs, which is our case of the egel, it was muchan to be given to dogs, certainly can't be muchan leklavim. Now, something that's muchan le'dogs can't become muchan, something that was muchan leklavim can't become muchan la'adam. It doesn't make sense, right? Because the assumption is that Adam is one step up, right? So something that is acceptable for Adam, but its transformation as being Muchan L'Klavim is not okay on Shabbos. So something that's only Muchan L'Klavim certainly can't become Muchan L'Adam. So says the Gemara in Amar Lei, he says, no, you're wrong in challenging the challenge to Rav's silence about the challenge to Rav's Shita, right? So the Gemara says, it's true, muchan la'adam la'avi muchan la'klavim. That's something that's muchan la'adam, you have to read that carefully, not ein muchan la'adam, in, yes, comma. Muchan la'adam, something that's muchan la'adam, la'avi muchan la'klavim. Why is that? Not because dogs are less than humans, but d'mai chazi le le'inish, lo shadi le le'klavim. Because let's be honest, what's achana all about? What's being muchan all about? It's all about your das. And when someone has das for something that's relevant to a human being, they don't think to themselves, oh, this would be good for a dog, right? When you make your Shabbos meal on Erev Shabbos, and you look at it, it's all done, it's all beautiful, it's all wonderful, you don't say to yourself, hey, you know what? If this doesn't work out, like if I don't have all the guests that are coming, or I could always give this to a dog, right? No one says that. You don't consider this for a dog. It's not food for a dog. Something that's muchan la'adam, you don't have in mind, even though the dog is a lower level of what would presume would require achana, never, in terms of who you're servicing, that's true, but in terms of the das of the person, that would not, you would not have that in mind. So muchan la'klavim, but if you're preparing something for dogs, having muchan la'adam, the date de inish, akol midi de chazilei, right? But if, let's say, you have a hamster at home, or you had a hamster, and then the hamster escaped the cage, and you can't find the hamster, so then you buy a new hamster, and that new hamster needs to be fed, right? And you have food for the hamster, which is basically a bunch of nuts, so you bought this food. It's really designated for the hamster, that's why you have it, but it's edible food. So you don't think about the fact that you can never use it for anything, right? If you need it. So Tanya, so if let's say you're making a salad, and you need, no one's going to eat in my house ever again, right? Making a salad. So it says the Gemara of Amud Midi de Chazilei. Tanya Kavase de Rav, Tanya Kavase de Shmuvi Timur of Yochanan. Now we have a Braisa that follows Rav, who said it was Muksa and it was Asur the Afrakshan al the Biyantiv. And we have a Braisa that follows Shmuel Yitamid Rabbi Yochanan that says that it's Matir Atzmo Bishchita. Tanya Kavase de Rav, what's the Braisa that supports Rav? Egel Shanolid Biyantiv. It combines these two halachas altogether. The Egel that's born on Yantif is Mutter. But a frach shenolad b'yantif, and a frach that's born on yantif, is aser. And we understand that, right? We understand that, according to Rav, because the egel is not mucham. The egel is mucham. The afrach is not. What's the difference between these two? Because the egel is mucha and agav imo on account of the shchita of its mother, it would be considered edible, and therefore it's mutter when it's born on yontif. And this, the beitza, is not mucha and agav imo, because nobody eats. It's a sheretz. No one eats a chick out of a chicken. Tanya kavasi de Shmuel v'itema Rabbi Yochanan. We have a price according to Shmuel that all supports Rabbi Yochanan. Egel shenola b'yomtiv is mutter, v'afroch shenola b'yomtiv mutter. And the frach is also mutter. My taima, what's the reason? Zem muchana gavimo, v'zem matir atzmo b'shchita. And that's beferush, the shita shmo. Done. Tana rabbanon, so the rabbis learned, efroach shenola b'yomtiv, aser. That a froach that's born on yomtiv is aser. It's a brisa. Rilazar ben Yaakov Omer, af bechol aser. Not only aser on yomtiv, it seems to be a mux issue, but even there's a scenario where it's usr even bechol. What's that scenario? Lefi shelo nispachtu einof. If it hasn't yet opened its eyes, okay? If the chick is born and it's so underdeveloped that it hasn't even opened its eyes yet, you cannot shech that chicken. In fact, I think Tosis on the Amud before, when it starts talking about an afroach shenola b'yantav, says near lomadis ram d'shnachtu einov ayom lav tochenim kamelon dafilu b'chol aser. It also says that the sugya all along has been assuming this is a chick that opened its eyes. But if it hasn't opened its eyes, you're not allowed to eat it. D'tanya, because we learned in a commander azla, who does this go like? Or d'tanya, like we learned in a brisa, l'chol asheretz asheretz aretz, that it's aser to eat any creepy crawly thing that crawls on the ground. L'rabos Efrochim, to include the Efrochim shelo nispachtu einehem, to include these little chicks that have not yet opened their eyes. Kiman, according to whose opinion is this? Brisak, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Amar Rav Huna. Now, okay, end of sugya. Rav Huna says a new thing. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. So Rav Huna says something in the name of Rav. Beitza, a beitza im yitziyasa nigmira. When it comes out of the chicken, it is considered finished. Mayim yitziyasa nigmira. What does it mean that when it comes out of the chicken, it's finished? What does that mean? What does that mean, it's finished? Ilema im yitziyasa nigmira. If you say that when it comes out, it's finished. Umiteres la'achla b'chalav. And that's when the egg actually becomes parv. At Kolzman, it's part of the chicken. It's really part of a chicken. Chickens are fleshig. When we do Meseches Chulin in Tav HaShavua, you know, which will take us about 2.5 years, we will encounter the famous sheet of Rabbi Akiva and other Tanoim. It's a big discussion how chicken became fleshig, but chicken is fleshig. So you're going to say that, what does it mean that when it's finished, it's finished, that it's mutter, that now mutaris la'ochla b'chalav, you can eat it together with milk. It's parv. You can make a cheese omelet. Ha b'mei ima, but that implies that in the stomach of the mother, asura l'achla b'chalav. That implies that the egg, while it's still in the stomach of the mother, is considered part of the chicken, and it's asur to eat b'chalav. Well, Tanya, but we learned in a brisa, shochet is a tarnagolis. When you shech the tarnagolis, matzaba beitzim gemuros, if you find full beitzim inside, right, mutaros la'achlam b'chalav, you're allowed to eat them b'chalav. Ela im yitziyasa nigmarasa, what does it mean that with leaving it's nigmar, umutares la'achla b'yomtov? It means that it's mutter to eat on yontif. It has nothing to do with whether or not it's milchik. Ha b'me'ima asur la'achla b'yomtov. While it's still in the mother, it's usher to eat on Yom Tov. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, shochet is a tarnagolis. You shech the tarnagolis, matzo aveitzim gimuros mutaris lechlem b'yom tov. That it's mutter to eat the beitzim that you find on Yom Tov. Right? In other words, you don't have to worry that the beitzim were finished on Yom Tov, and that you're dealing with. You could assume that they're finished before Yom Tov. V'chitema kamash milon b'braisa, madalo ashmilin b'nas nisan, if you want to say that no, this brice is introducing a new din that Ashokhar is a Tarnagolis, and Matzav Abeit Gemuros Mutaris La'echlin B'yantiv. So says the Gemara, Hanami Tanino, we already learned this. How do we learn it? We can infer it from our Mishnah. Beitza shenolda biyantif, a beitza that's born on yantif, beishamai omrim teyachil, beisilo omrim lo teyachil. So beishamai and beisilo have a machlokas tanoim. If you're allowed to eat it according to beishamai, you're not allowed to eat it according to beisilo. Be'adkan lo pligi beishamai beisilo, b'nolda. The Mishnah's case of where it was born. About b'mei iman, but if it's still in the mother's stomach, divrei akol sharyan, everyone agrees that it's mutter. Right? The machlokes is only when v'chitem a beis hillel afilu b'mei iman. So how do you know that? Maybe beis hillel holds that it's lo teachel, even b'mei iman. And even if you shecht it and you find the egg inside the stomach on yantif, it would still be aser. Nami asiri. So the Hadiktani Noda, and I, so then why didn't the Mishnah discuss that case? Why did the Mishnah discuss the case of Nolad, where it was actually born, according to Hillel, right? If that even that case is Aser. So it says the Gemara, Lodiyecha Kochon de Beishamai, that Filo Noda Nami Sharu, that even Nolad, according to Beishamai, is Mutter. And that's the only reason why the Mishnah. But in a Chanami, that Beis Hillel holds that it's Aser. Elo Hadiktani, Ashokhen is a Tarnagos, Amatsu, Abetim, Gemuros, Mutaros, Laechlan, Beyom Tov, Mani, but then who's the author of this brisa that says that when you find the beitz and gemuros that it's mutter to eat them on yontif? Who does it follow? Lo beis shamai, velo beis hillel. Doesn't follow beis shamai or beis hillel. It doesn't follow beis hillel because it doesn't follow beis shamai because beis shamai says lo teyachil, right? And it doesn't follow beis hillel because why would beis hillel be arguing only in the case of nolad when it's even mutter in the case of? Finding it in the chicken. Ella imitziyasa nigmira. The Gemara says, Ella, no, this olchidish is something completely different. What does it mean that with its birth, it's considered complete? That imitziyasa nigmira umagdeles efrochim. That chickens that are born, once they're born, they're capable of also giving forth offspring. And chickens that are b'me'ima ain't a magdeles efrochim. But if you shech the chicken and you take a undeveloped egg out, and that the chicken that comes out of that egg is not capable of giving birth. L'may nafkamina. So okay, that's a nice zoological, you know, piece of information. But you know, who cares? So the Gemara says l'mekachu memchar. It's important for. It's important for Mekach u'Memkar. Why is it important for Mekach u'Memkar, which means business? Why do you have to know that? Because if someone is selling Be'e de'pachya, someone selling these types of eggs, these young eggs, L'man yavile be'e de'shchuta, and it turns, and someone says, I'm selling eggs that were like, you know, capable of giving off more eggs, that were laid. And really, they know. They were selling eggs that were shechted and extracted. So that happened. Then also the Kamei de Rav Ami, they came before Rav Ami, the Amar Lahu, and he says the Mekach Tos. That's considered a Mekach Tos, since it's definitive that eggs that are unborn and discovered through Shechita don't have the capacity to give over. And since you committed to the buyer that that's the type of egg you were selling, so therefore it's Mutter. This Gemara on the...